Hello, hello, and welcome in. It is time for Three Guys Before the Game, episode number 88. Thanks so much for being with us. Our program today brought to us by Bet Lucky. Bet Lucky makes sports betting easy, now available to you here in the state of West Virginia. And you get two times your first bet back in bonus money when you download the app. More on that coming up later on in the program. Delighted to be joined once again by the other two guys. Two plus one makes three guys. The Senator, Brad Howe, he was a podcast game time decision. I mean, it was not sure. He's got the itis. We don't know what type of itis it is, but he's got the itis. So you're playing hurt. We appreciate that.
That time of year, just show up and play. Nobody cares. Show up and play, right?
Your voice sounds pretty good.
Does it?
So what's the problem?
I don't know. Just a little uneasiness in the stomach. A little achiness.
Oh, that kind.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Never good.
No, we're all right.
Nathan Adrian is here as well. He's taking full advantage of the delightful spring-like temperatures here in Morgantown as we record. He's got shorts on, but you can't tell.
Over 40, I wear shorts. It's a rule in the winter.
Really?
Yeah.
First
it's a nice
I've heard
day.
Of that.
Go enjoy it.
All right. Good deal. I'm all with you.
Well,
all
enjoy
right.
it now because we're headed the other way.
Yeah. When West
At least
Virginia,
we won't be
about
in Ames.
The time you get to Ames, Iowa. Actually, you'll think it's warm here by the time you land in Ames on Wednesday.
By the time we get to Ames, we're going to have, like, when you get off the plane, they're going to have to get, like, walrus blubber and, like, the grease and just roll it on your face so you just don't immediately crack.
Have you looked at your high?
Yeah, it's a high. I thought the low was going to be negative 25.
That's the low. The high is negative 8.
Yeah. Yes. But the sun's going to be out. It'll be a warming sun.
It'll be a warm negative 8.
It'll be a warming sun. So, anyway, that's next for the Mountaineers. Let's jump in here, ladies and gentlemen. As to WV's last outing, the Volunteers of Tennessee, number one team of the nation, defeat West Virginia 83-66. The game could not have started better for West Virginia than the way it did. Exactly what you needed. Freezing, ice-cold Tennessee couldn't buy a bucket, and West Virginia was throwing up shots, and they were tinkling the twine. And you said, And there's 11 minutes to go in the opening half, and West Virginia has enjoyed a lead by as many as 12 points. And you thought, if these guys can just keep missing and West Virginia can keep on hitting, this could get interesting. And then suddenly, as cold as it's going to be on the outside here later this week, West Virginia went absolutely frigid and goes for an absolute walk into the desert drought, missing 14 of 15 shots, going it's 9 minutes and 40 seconds or 10
Basically
minutes,
10,
something. 10
yeah.
minutes,
yeah.
10 minutes without scoring a single point. And West Virginia, in what became a 22-point swing in the first half, goes into the locker room down by 10, and trouble was a-brewing.
It was like a microcosm of the season. Wasn't it? You came out, it was a big game, number one team. So we've seen West Virginia have some life in those big games. It did early. Started out great, as you just alluded to. You caught a break that Tennessee wasn't ready to go. That was surprising to me. I thought them coming back home as the number one team, they'd be engaged and ready to go. They weren't. But then we saw West Virginia struggles offensively, as you just mentioned. And then defensively, you just couldn't get stopped. So it was the everything that we've seen from West Virginia throughout this whole season packed into one 40-minute game, and then you end up getting blown out by the end of the game.
I mean, we talk about inconsistency from game to game, but at this point, it's inconsistency within a game. The fact that you can the first 10 minutes shoot as well as we did and then the next 10 minutes shoot as poorly, that's hard to believe. I mean, it's understandable going 3, 4, 5, 6 minute droughts, but to go 10 minutes and missing 14 shots, that's hard to do.
When you were watching it, Nate, did they do anything different defensively? Did they just start to become more aggressive? What did you notice? Why did that happen?
No, you could tell when after Wes had that dunk, Rick Barnes called that timeout and kind of got into him a little bit. I think that kind of woke him up. They just started playing a little harder, made us make shots over them, which we were just making them before, and then we started missing them. So I don't think they did anything extra differently or per se, but, you know, we missed shots.
And on the other side, when Tennessee was missing its shots early on and started off ice cold, they were good shots. That was what the concern was for me, is that they weren't like having to shoot bailout shots that weren't going in. They were getting like really good looks that weren't going in. And when you normally get really good looks that don't go in early, eventually they're going to start going down, and that's what happened.
And you just can't beat a team of their quality playing the way West Virginia did. We talked all week leading into that game. They just have so many guys that can hurt you. I mean, Schofield was 5 of 16 from the floor. That's great. If you had told me last week that you were going to get 5 out of 16 from Schofield, you'd take it. Williams shot the ball 8 times after going for 43 against Van. I mean, those two things right there, I would have said, all right, you're in this game. You got a shot. Those are two of the things you need. The chances of both of them happening to Tennessee on the same day are remote, and you actually got it and couldn't take advantage. That's what's disappointing.
Well, two guys hurt them. Normally, two guys that come off the bench. Lamonte Turner scored a team-high 23 for the Volunteers. He normally comes off the bench, but they got him the spot start. And then another guy that came off the bench, Jordan Bowden, scored 15 points. And that was the difference. You're right. Grant Williams gets 19 and misses, believe it or not, 3 free throws after going 23 of 23 in their last game. And Schofield, he's struggling overall. He's got a cold streak going. So, as you said, he went 5 of 16 and 1 out of 5 from 3. But he did get you 14 points, 10 rebounds, and a couple of assists, a block, and a steal. And he did that in 31 minutes. He's a different-looking dude. I thought he was, you know, more guard. But when you look at him, he's an absolute wing.
Oh, that can shoot it, though.
Yeah,
he's shooting 42% from three-point range. I mean, he's a nice-looking player.
He's a big-bodied
wing. That's an NBA guy,
yeah,
is what you're looking at.
He's a big-bodied wing. And that was kind of interesting. They're a good team. They're a good team. And they play well, and they're coached well. But they don't make you go like, oh, my gosh. You know, when we played Kentucky and Cleveland in the NCAA tournament, that team made you go like, oh, my gosh, frightening.
That team was different, though.
Right. I mean, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's a way outlier, though.
I know it is, but I'm just saying I've seen a bunch so far, obviously. Seen Kansas, seen Tennessee, haven't seen Duke in person. I think probably Duke, when it gets rolling, it can be kind of, you know, wow-struck type thing. But they're a really good team. I hope they do well for the rest of the year.
You saw them at about their worst, though. They're in this three-game stretch where they have not been very good. Against Alabama, obviously Vanderbilt, the near loss. They weren't particularly sharp against West Virginia. So they've hit that slide that some teams hit. Now, they've won all three games. Everybody should be so lucky to be in a slide where you win all three games. But you didn't get them at their best. If you go back and watch some film of them against the Gonzaga at their really top end when they play, I think you'd change your opinion. You got them on an off night there.
There were a couple of times where they came down the floor in transition and absolutely you went bang, 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 and you go like, they can really play. There's no question about it. There's no question about it. Really good. So we'll see what happens. Can they unseat Kentucky in the SEC? Time will tell. I'll tell you a couple of things. From West Virginia's perspective, not only does WVU lose the game, now we have to await word on Beadle Bolden's injury. He took that ankle sprain in the second half. He was about as banged up as you can be and still play before the game even started. They had a wrap on him like they used to apply to Civil War soldiers. I mean, they wrap him with about that much ace bandage around his midsection. They got things in there. They got all kinds of stuff going on in there. He had a hip. He had an ankle, that same ankle that he hurt. He had already hurt before that. His shoulder had popped earlier. He got that black electric tape that they use nowadays. He was working one of those deals. And so now you don't know what his status is going to be as you get ready for just a jovial little trip to Iowa State, who looked absolutely fantastic Saturday against Ole Miss.
What's not dinged on Beadle?
I mean, one of his shoulders.
You know a lot about playing hurt. I mean, That poor buddy, I mean, he is that.
He makes you look healthy, Nathan.
No, I know he does, but he can't find a way to stay healthy. It seems like he's always falling on the ground, hurting something. His ankle was just unfortunate. He went to jump, and you could tell it kind of rolled forward, which is never a good sign. When he fell, he kind of held it a little bit high. So that's definitely not what you want. That's about the worst injury you can get is a high ankle sprain. So you just kind of got to hope that that's not what it is, and hopefully it's just a regular old ankle sprain and he can come back pretty quick.
Before we move ahead and look at Iowa State here a little bit, you said going into the game on this podcast last week that you were going to look to try and pull something out of Saturday's game, and it was Derek Culver in particular, that if you're a pro and you're a big-time guy, that you go in and you say, all right, fine, number one team, that's great. Let's bring it all on. Let's see. Thought he did some nice things.
Absolutely.
I thought he did some good things
in
that game. I think you pull out of there and say, all right, yeah, that's what we thought he was.
He competes. Mm-hmm. He competes. Number one thing that you have to do when you go out in those situations is like, I don't care. It's not too big for me. That's a big house, by the way.
It's a huge house.
It's a big house. I forgot.
21,000 is a lot of people for a basketball arena.
I forgot how big that thing was.
And it was filled, right? Well, there weren't any seats.
No. When the last time we were there, Tennessee basketball was just, ugh, right? I mean, no one was really, as you can imagine, you know, you go out there going into that game, you're 17-1 and you're number one in the nation. People were jacked. You walk into that building, man, they say it seats 21. They put 22 in there on Saturday. It's big.
Yeah.
It's large. And so if you're a freshman, you know, you could kind of go, woo, a little bit too big for me. I didn't see that one bit from Culver. He goes out there and he battles and he competes. 15 points, 6 rebounds. Had turnover problem. They were doubling down on him. He turned the ball over 3 times. But he got that in 24 minutes. So, yeah, that's an encouraging thing to see. He's not going to back down. If he doesn't back down there, number one team of the nation on their home floor, he's not backing down.
Esau also gave you some flashes. He put some points up, got 7 rebounds. I know I come back to this each week. It's like the Esau watch. Did you see the flashes or did you not? He at least gave you a couple flashes. Now the question always remains, does that carry over and do you see that Wednesday night against Iowa State? Yep. But at least you got a little bit with him on Saturday.
Yeah, he played hard. 16 points, 7 rebounds. He took a step back at the point guard position. Jermaine Haley had an off day, 5 turnovers in his 15 minutes of play. Brandon Knapper had 3 turnovers in 9 minutes. Jordan McCabe did have 4-2, so he went 2-1 assist to turnover ratio in his 16 minutes. But overall, again, that turnover bug just crushes West Virginia. 24 turnovers for the Mountaineers, and surprisingly, Tennessee only scored 20 of its points off of 24 West Virginia turnovers. You're fortunate right there. That thing could have been a much bigger number, mm-hmm. and you could have had a real big time. Even, well, I mean, we don't know what you're losing. 7, you lose by 17. It's a big number. It could have been worse.
It could have been much worse. Tennessee, honestly, they came out. They didn't really want to be there, and everything that we needed to happen for us to have a chance to win happened for us on their end. We just didn't take care of it on our end.
Yeah. All right, so with the backcourt situation with Beetle Bolden unknown, West Virginia now goes to Iowa State. The league did do well over the weekend, winning 6 of the 10 games against the SEC, and Iowa State looked really, really impressive. They go into Ole Miss, and if you watch the game at all, because it was earlier than the WVU game, I mean, they were rocking and rolling. They got players.
That's what I said earlier before we started. They're almost like a Tennessee light. Their guys they're really guard-oriented. They've got a bunch of guys. They spread the floor. They run. They shoot it. And they were on fire against Ole Miss. They shot 60-some percent, I think, in the first half. Tony, is that right? And then they started the second half like 12 of 13, hit 12 mm-hmm. of their first 13. I mean, they've got guys is right. This is going to be a really difficult matchup for West Virginia.
And what they do best is they spread the floor out mm-hmm. and make you guard the entire half court, which is something we've struggled with rotations. And they like to move the ball around and get the ball to the open shooter, which they do at a pretty good clip.
One of the things West Virginia struggles at is three-point field goal percentage defense. They're currently 7th in conference play at 35%. The thing that Iowa State does best is shoot three-point shots. They're number one in the league at 37%. So you've got to be really, really careful.
And look at the number of guys they have that shoot more than 53-pointers.
Everybody.
On the air. Right? And they've got 5 or 6 guys. And this will be an interesting matchup. You know, Tyrese Halliburton is Jordan McCabe's buddy that was the Gatorade Player of the Year in Wisconsin. McCabe was the Wisconsin Player of the Year, so those guys are going to hook up and see each other. Halliburton's really good. He's having a heck of a freshman year.
This episode of Three Guys Before the Game is brought to us by BetLucky. BetLucky makes your sports betting easy. All you have to do is download the app, either Wheeling Island or Mardi Gras, and you can do it if you're an iPhone person or an Android person. Do it on Google Play or do it at the App Store, the Apple App Store. BetLucky right now giving you 2 times your first bet back in bonus money, up to $20, and you choose either Wheeling Island or Mardi Gras when you download the app. All games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. So did you have fun with the BetLucky app this weekend?
Yeah, that West Virginia game was interesting.
Yeah, did you see that one, Nate?
I did. It went against the normal trend of how games go. All the public and all the money was on Tennessee, and it covered somehow.
So what was the line at the end, at the start of the game?
Well, the last I saw, I can't say that it closed like this everywhere, but the last I saw in an over-under number was 149.5. What was the final score? It was 149, right?
Yeah, 149, 83-66.
Yeah, and it was a 15-point spread. I mean, it had dropped down a little bit, then popped back up to 15. How much did Tennessee win by?
17, and they scored a bucket with, what, 3 seconds to go?
After ESPN had switched the game.
They did, huh?
That would make you very unhappy.
There were some people on Twitter that were not pleased with that.
So before the game starts, a Mountaineer fan comes up to me, and a Three Guys listener. And he comes up press row, and he says, hey, did you get Rick Barnes's pepperoni rolls? Because we had talked about giving Rick Barnes's pepperoni rolls. And I said, actually, no, I didn't. I didn't buy any. I didn't bring any with me. He goes, ah. He said, well, here. He goes, these are the best pepperoni rolls. He goes, this lady makes these for me. He goes, I want you to have them. So he had three little plastic bags with a pepperoni roll in each. So I said, well, give me those. And I said, I'll give them to him. He goes, no, I want you to eat them. I said, I want to give them to Barnes. He said, so there's three. Jacobs, like, he takes one, like, all of a sudden, like, he's malnourished. He's got to eat all of a sudden. So he takes
one. So he stole one right out of your hands.
Yeah. I said, so I took the other two. And I said, okay, I'm giving these to Barnes. So I go up, walk out onto the court. Some student managers from Tennessee are getting up some shots. Because, I mean, if you're going to be a good student manager, you got to get shots up.
You got to be ready for the manager games.
You can't cheat the game. And so I walk up to these kids, and I said, hey, you do me a favor. I go, yeah, what do you got? And I said, see, they're called pepperoni rolls. I said, West Virginia thing. Coach Barnes, when he used to come to West Virginia, he loved these pepperoni rolls. He used to come at our concession stand at WVU and buy them. I said, you think? He goes, absolutely. He said, I'll give them to him right now. So kid goes off. Okay, fine. Game starts, play the game, da-da-da, it's all over with. So I'm leaving, walking out, and Coach Barnes is just finishing his radio interview there on press row with the Tennessee folks, Tennessee Radio Network. And he's standing up, and I just looked over, had the opportunity because he was off air. I said, hey, Coach. I said, did you get those pepperoni rolls? He said, was that you? He said, thank you so much. He goes, you know I love those things. And there are people around him. He goes, hey, first time I went to West Virginia, he said, they put bread and pepperoni together. And he said, and they're absolutely fantastic. He said, I can't thank you enough for those. He goes, thank you so much. So he got his pepperoni rolls.
Thanks to a Three Guys listener.
That's outstanding.
Well done.
Yeah. I mean, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help the world eat. I mean, that's all we're trying. Is this what you do nowadays? Is that pretty good branding?
You're just like an ambassador for the state there. You're wearing the state on your shirt there. You're giving pepperoni rolls out when you travel. Just an ambassador.
We're just trying to help people. And so we knew it was going to be a bad road trip. Probably knew a couple of things. Our bus on the way to the shoot around Saturday morning, flat tire. So we kind of rolled into the arena kind of like. So they fixed that while we were shooting. Got somebody guy in there, you know, Fred Flintstone, put a new tire on. And then on the way home, going from the arena back to the airport, the bus started breaking down. And we stalled about 6 or 8 times. Mm. A couple of times right on the interstate, off the side.
So it was a little foreshadowing going in?
It was like, let's get the hell out of here. Can we just get home? Can we just get home? And now we're going into Ice Station Zebra. So it's going to be good.
On a 30-seater. At a Morgantown and Ames.
We'll be all right. All right, folks. Continue to look at it from a bunch of different angles. Just got to hang in there. Got to hang in, man. Just hang in there. Hang in.
Go steal one. Maybe all 6 guys from Iowa State will be cold.
Well, you know, man, I know what I'd like to do. I'd like to bring you. I think just your presence in Hilton Coliseum, they'll just kind of look and you go,
you think?
That's the guy.
They don't like me very much.
That's the guy that hit the pull-up three from the far side wing that beat us. That's him right there.
His hair's different, though. I don't know if they'd recognize him.
I bet you if you walked in, you'd get some catcalls.
They don't like me very much. Some mean things said to me there. Those are the worst fans in Big 12.
Seriously?
Oh, no doubt.
Really?
Kansas is louder, but they're vulgar.
Are they really?
Oh, absolutely.
I always thought Texas Tech would give it to you.
No.
Really?
No. No one's ever at Texas Tech. No one really goes to those games.
So Iowa State fans give
it. Iowa State, there's a lot of mean people there.
They're nice people. I mean, those are your people, Brad. I mean, defend your state.
I'm not defending Iowa State. He experienced it.
All right. All I'm trying to do is feed people and make people happy. You guys are in there starting international incidents. Episode 88, Three Guys Before the Game, brought to us by Bet Lucky, making your sports betting easier. Check it out at the Bet Store, betlucky.com. You can also visit there right now. Take advantage, 2 times your first bet back in bonus money. All games regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Please play responsibly. Back again on Thursday. Thanks for being with us. Three Guys Before the Game. See y'all.